We're watching a video of a recent Contact Improv Jam organized by Dave Ohl, who joins me now to tell us a little bit more about this practice. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine, Dave.
Thank you.
So listeners can't see what we're looking at. Can you describe what's going on here?
Yeah, this is a video of Heather and I, and we are basically just dancing improv style on a wooden floor. And right now Heather is in the quadruped position. I'm sort of arching over her, and now I'm on the ground. So yeah, this is Contact Improv, and we're basically just down on the floor and just sort of using each other as like props to like, you know, move off of and roll around on top of.
When you said you're dancing improv, and when you first brought up this to me, I was thinking standing a little bit more footwork, but that's not so much about the contact improv.
Right.
So as you mentioned, yeah, it's like lower to the floor. Where does this come from? How long has this been around?
This was, I guess, developed or started or invented in the early 70s by a group of New York City dancers and martial artists and gymnasts. And there are some really great videos of like early contact improv on YouTube where they're actually using athletic mats and like jumping on top of one another.
Mm.
But this is much more slow and like flowing, I would say. So that's where it comes from.
How do you feel when you're doing this?
How do I feel? Usually I feel, usually if I'm dancing by myself, I'm just sort of flailing around or whatever. But this makes me like really listen to the other person that I'm dancing with and like to sensing their movements, sort of sensing how I feel about what's going on, noticing where my body is in space. And also like, so at some point I start to evaluate my own actions and thoughts, right, while I'm dancing. And that is an interesting point at which I feel like I can either remove myself from the dance and like consider what's happening, or like acknowledge that I'm thinking about all of this and I can put that aside and resume dancing. Which I don't know if that makes any sense, but
well, what I'm
hearing,
there's
a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of communication that's involved in and introspective perception of communication.
Yeah.
Do people who get involved with contact improv, is it a way to work on communication and introspection?
Yeah, I think it really can be. I think that through contact improv, I think I've improved my nonverbal communicating skills. And this might be a deeper conversation, but there, I think that one can learn a lot about consent through contact improv. Learning how to notice when people are not interested in dancing without saying no, or you know, how to offer oneself as a dancing partner, nonverbally, which can translate into other aspects of life. Yeah, did I answer the question?
Sounds to me like your answer is yes, it is a practice of communication. And how, what drew you to this in the first place? Where, how did you discover this?
Yeah, okay. I was invited to a jam back in like 2007 or 2008, maybe, by a friend of mine in Troy. There was a woman, Emma Willard, who was hosting jams, and I went to a few and enjoyed it, but for whatever reason stopped going. And then I took some tango classes, and I spent like 6 or 7 months taking them, and I really didn't feel any improvement, and I was getting very frustrated, and so I stopped. And a few years later, a friend of mine I was depressed, and a friend of mine challenged me to find a hobby or two that I might spend some money on, you know, spend some resources, spend some time doing that I really wanted to do. And I knew that dance was one of them. And I guess I kind of just remembered the contact improv that I did. And I've also visited Earth Dance, which is a place in Western Massachusetts that specialized. It was formed it was founded by a bunch of contact improv dancers who moved up to Western Massachusetts from New York City. And so I went there for, I started going there regularly for jams. And that's how I got into it.
And now you're organizing jams.
Yeah.
How often are those taking place? Where are they? How can people get involved?
Right now, they're once a month. They are at a small studio called Movement Insights in Malta, New York. It's very close to Exit 12 off the Northway. It's on the last Saturday of the month at 11 a.m.
We'll put ways to get involved in the description of this interview,
yeah,
as
okay.
well as with a link to the YouTube video to see yeah. an example of contact improv.
Cool.
So yeah. what if a listener is thinking, well, I'm not very comfortable with close contact with people who I yep. don't know well, or just in general. Mm-hmm. We all have different comfort levels of mm-hmm. our personal space. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. One of the, I guess, cardinal rules is that there's no wrong way to do contact improv, first of all. And there's also just a general guideline that the dance is totally voluntary and you can change, you can leave the dance at any time. You can change your mind about dancing with whoever it is you're dancing with. There's no requirement to actually dance with anybody. So you can hang out in a corner and watch. That's actually often considered to be an important part of contact improv, is the sort of the audience. I think it's expected that participants are not just dancing, they're also observing and I guess spectating. And you can negotiate. Heather and I are also hosting, like before the jam, we also are having little mini classes where we maybe will introduce an aspect of contact improv. We can introduce it in a way that's a little more friendly through a sort of a mini class. So you can dance contact improv just with hands. You know, you don't have to get down on the floor. You don't have to roll on people, or you can just dance with hands in the air standing. There's a lot of different ways to do it. You can also communicate to your dance partner that there are places that, you know, what you're comfortable with, whatever your guideline is, like, I just want to use my hands right now, or I'm not comfortable getting on my knees or getting on the floor right now. So that's an important aspect too. Yeah.
What are some of the biggest questions that you get? And you say that you have classes. So what are some of the mm-hmm. important elements to understand?
Usually the classes, we're trying to limit them to about half an hour in length. They are basic exercises to get people tuned in with their bodies and comfortable, to give them some guidance as to how to start. Because most people walk in and they're like, I don't know what to do. This is all new to me. And there's a number of different kinds of exercises, and they are focused on giving weight, accepting weight, maybe rolling, maybe noticing how, you know, what's the difference between a light touch and a hard touch, stuff like that.
Thank you so much, David Ohl, for telling us about Contact Improv Jam. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
So what it's done for me is it has really helped me think about my relationships with people, and it's given me a way of noticing my own thoughts in a healthy way. It's given me a good way, like new nonverbal ways of connecting and communicating with other people. I think it has helped me socially by allowing me to sort of ease my way into conversations or social occasions that are going on. And it's also very fun, and it feels like it's also helped me with some of my musculoskeletal problems.
Musculoskeletal problems. Excellent.
Yeah. So that's a large topic, and I think that's a pretty good simplification of how I feel like it's impacted me, and a good last message. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.